CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We leave the European plans behind and we go to the Chinese, the People's Republic of China, which is completely non-transparent and at the same time is clearly in trouble economically, militarily, and in some instances spiritually because of the brutality of the regime under Xi Jinping. At the same time, there are things we're witnessing that look to be very much important for the future of the planet because of the risk, and the way, Gregory, the way you put it, is the risk of a collapse of the regime. Right now, is that being entertained by our allies, by the United States? What happens if?
Well, I'm sure someone must be thinking about it, but bear in mind that it's only been in the past few months that we have not, you and I, have not been alone, as we have been for almost a decade, in discussing the probable collapse of the People's Republic of China and the consistent economic downfall and misreporting on China over that period. Now, at least people are acknowledging that economic collapse is on the cards, that mass public dissent is on the rise, that the potential for starvation general population, not only unhappiness, but tragedy is now emerging visibly. We're seeing photographs of it every day, not just with the natural disasters of flooding and the like, but with the neglect by the government of all of the problems which beset the average Chinese citizen, including the loss of all their savings in really poorly designed infrastructure, the loss of money bankrupt housing schemes and the like. Hundreds of millions of Chinese are now impacted by this, and we are seeing that is going to have an effect on the Communist Party. We also see that this means that General Secretary Xi Jinping is going to be looking for a distraction sooner rather than later, and his big distraction promise has been the invasion of Taiwan. However, the People's Liberation Army, which is happy to indulge him with, if you like, wolf warrior gestures like military exercises and flying aircraft over and ships around Taiwan, has made it pretty clear that it does not wish to go to war for Taiwan, knowing that the massive losses which it would sustain and probable loss of the war and possible collapse of the People's Republic of China as a result. Partly because, the Republic of China on Taiwan is not about to surrender without a fight and is likely to destroy the Three Gorges Dam, among other things. And the destruction of that would destroy Beijing and Shanghai through the floodwaters coming down. So this is not something the PLA wants to be part of because of the broader war, which it would also entail. So the question is, what happens then? Does the PLA quietly put Xi in a corner and basically use him as a puppet? Because Xi thought that the PLA was his power base, but the PLA knew that Xi was their puppet. So I think they've now made it quite clear, we're not going to war, just stop getting us into trouble. And will this give other members of the Communist Party the impetus to remove Xi entirely so that they can start to rebuild China, the People's Republic of China, on a non-Maoist line? Because what Xi has promised as the solution is Maoism, which means that you take money out of the hands of the public, take any means of expression, you take any mobility brought about through wealth out of the hands of the public, so you remove the private sector. This was how Mao felt secure and how he imposed his control through the Cultural Revolution, which was to try to get rid of non-Maoist tendencies and so on. So that's what we see Xi Jinping doing today. So there are plenty of elements within the Communist Party of China who are not Maoist, and they're going to move or the PLA is going to move. And if they leave it too long and the collapse of China occurs because of the economic downward spiral which Xi has caused, then the risk is that China could fracture geographically, geopolitically, into various areas of warlordism or open itself up to an entirely new movement. And so it's the job of the Communist Party to save itself. And to do that, it's going to have to get rid of Xi Jinping or control him so that he is literally a mouthpiece for the PLA and more conservative, or should we say more liberal, elements who don't want to see a war and they don't want to see the continued economic degradation of the state.
Do they have an economic plan that would work? Because their business model depended upon things that are no longer credible. They're no longer going to enjoy foreign investment. They're not trusted. In addition, their property sector is one great big, it's a bubble is inadequate of a metaphor. It's a complete, it's a complete fantasy. And you say savings, they've wiped out two generations of hard work in that property fiasco that's underway.
Well, basically, I made the point that the only hope of the responsible economic types within the CCP would be to impose a rigorous economic reform of the type introduced by the Chilean military leader, Augusto Pinochet, after the 1973 overthrow of that Castroist President Salvador Allende. And that would mean introducing, if you like, Chicago-style economics to literally get the market going again. But even Allende had not gone as far down the path of the destruction of the Chilean society as she has already gone in destroying mainland Chinese society and the economy. So it would be an almost unthinkably large task for even a radical market-oriented Chicago-style economics policy to save China. But it might stop revolution because if the public sees that the Maoist approach of Xi Jinping has been abandoned and that the party actually might seem to be working on behalf of society, then they may hold off on some of the mass anger and that might give them some time. But China is in for a decade or two, regardless of anything else, of real economic and social tragedy.
I want to look at the neighborhood, Gregory. First, your native Australia. We're told that Mr. Albanese plans to visit Beijing. And we have conversations from Mr. Kishida, the Prime Minister of Japan, making it very clear that he believes that China's a threat, that Russia's a threat. We have the Philippines who are pushing back against the Chinese aggression in the Second Thomas Shoals. We have other parts of the neighborhood that are apprised of the Chinese aggression. Are they all consistent with what you're identifying now? Do they understand the threat of a collapsed China? Are they preparing for it?
I don't believe they are adequately preparing for it. I think Prime Minister Albanese is still in awe of the People's Republic of China, which his Labour Party has always seen as this great and potentially beneficial economic partner, and they don't want to acknowledge the fact that that era has absolutely finished. Even in the last 24 hours, we saw the premier of the Australian state of Victoria, who is a Maoist, who'd signed an agreement with the Belt and Road Initiative. He is now resigned, and the Prime Minister Albanese has praised him as a great and forward-thinking a politician in Australia. So, frankly, Albanese is and his people are still living in a dream world from two decades ago. And they and the rest of the world are going to get that economic wake-up call pretty quickly. Yes, the world is moving and they're getting some momentum from that, but they haven't really grasped the urgency of the need to reintegrate domestic supply lines and domestic manufacturing, domestic control of energy. That's not yet on the horizon for Australian legislation. They're still spending a vast amount of money on alternate energy schemes, which are driving the taxpayers crazy and which aren't dealing with the real needs, energy needs of Australia going forward. There's no refining capacity. They're not exploiting their indigenous oil and so on. So basically, we see that most of the partners are still kowtowing to, well, frankly, to both Beijing and Washington, as though these powers are somehow going to bail them all out.
If the PLA won't fight, that means that the PLA will turn to order, internal order, correct? Is it capable of imposing internal order on the Chinese people?
I think it is. And we saw the PLA at work a year ago in Shanghai. That was the great enforcer of the so-called zero COVID lockdown of Shanghai, which was done for political and population control reasons. And it was PLA as much as the domestic security organizations which imposed their writ there. They could and would do it. The question is, how will the PLA structure its leadership? Already a lot of the leaders, including the defense minister, are being disappeared. So who's in charge here? But they could revert to the period in the early Maoist era of warlordism to control various parts of the country. The question is, what does that mean? Will they become effectively just warlords and not tools of the Communist Party's Central Committee?
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. There's trouble in West Africa. We're headed there. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.